Thanks, Josh.
All right.
Oh, no worries, Ryan.
But you gave me a little extra time to be up here, so I can just use this time to really catch you all up on what I've been doing for the last 2 weeks. Hey, my name's Kent Woodrow. If you're like, hey, I've been here for the last 2 weeks at Ironworks Church, and who's this guy? I am the pastor here at Ironworks Church. It's my privilege to serve as that. I've also been away on vacation for the last couple of weeks, so I just wanted to say thank you to this church family for giving me that, and thank you to the elders for allowing me that space to get away with my own family. Really grateful for that. Also really grateful for our brothers, Clint Estes and Michael Quillen, who covered for me while I was out covering the preaching and so forth. Also just thank you all for being so kind. I got a lot of sweet texts from those of you. I don't tend to check my phone on vacation. I try to stay far away from it. But it was just nice to receive these, like, hey, we're thinking about you, praying for you. So thank you for that. But it's good to be back. It's good to be back with our church family. We've missed you all. Believe it or not, my whole family is actually back. I didn't leave them at the beach. My wife is just serving a nursery right now. My other daughter is at camp, and my youngest is sitting with friends in children's worship. So it's not just me that's back, though. I don't know if you noticed, but Shayna Land has come back off of her sabbatical, so it's been really nice to have her, too. So we're really thankful that she's back in the saddle and had some rest, and she's, you know, I met with her this past Tuesday, and she is going, so that's great. So I wanted to give you all a couple of quick announcements since, you know, you haven't heard enough of this. But we are having a family meeting next Sunday after service, and it's to kick off our season of reflection and repentance. And if you are at all able, please have one member of your family there because we want everyone to be present as we're rolling this out, because we want you to know what our hopes are for this season and how we hope we're going to use it well. So please have a family representative at that. And then I just wanted to add my plug to what Ryan said about the Renaissance lunch. We share this building intentionally. Right, we chose to be here so we could rub shoulders with our neighbors, and the biggest one of those is Renaissance Academy. These teachers, things aren't easy for them. Sometimes I hear it through the walls, you know, as they're just trying to keep, like, care for these kids. So this is our chance to say, hey, we see you, to be good neighbors and say, come to this lunch, and we're going to serve you. So if you're able at all, we do need people to come drop off desserts, help set up, tear down. But mostly, just come and try to engage with them. How rare is it for you to feel seen? This world doesn't do that. I think our church does that pretty well. So this is a chance for us to go and do that for neighbors of ours. So if you can, we'd love to have you here on Tuesday the 18th. All right, so it's been a couple weeks. You all ready to jump back into Matthew? I know I am. So I've been loving working our way slowly through Matthew's telling of Jesus' life story. That said, though, we are going to take a 5-week break starting next week as we're going through this season of reflection and repentance, because I want us to think through, well, what does the Bible actually say about repentance? That said, though, today's passage in Matthew couldn't do a better job of bridging our series in Matthew and this upcoming series in repentance. Because in our passage today, we meet a man who knows how desperately he needs cleansing. And he also knows that his only hope for cleansing can be found nowhere else but in Jesus. Friend, let me ask you, do you know what it's like to feel dirty? Do you know what it's like to feel weak? To feel death and decay in your very bones, to feel cast out? Do you know what it is to long for wholeness and to just wonder, could that ever happen? Because if that's you, then God's words today, they are for you. And so, would you listen close? If you're able and willing, would you please stand? Amanda is going to read Jesus' words to us. These are the true words of the living God given to us because he loves us.
Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. Jesus cleanses a leper. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Amanda. Would you all pray with me? Lord, if you're willing, you can make us clean. Father, if you are willing, you can make us whole. And so I pray now that you would do that. Through the preaching of your word, would you make us clean? Would you make us whole in our Savior Jesus? In his name we pray these things. Amen. Go grab a seat. So my wife, Anna, she's been pointing out to me for several months now how the Lord seems to theme my experiences in the week to the Sunday sermon that I'm going to be preaching the upcoming Sunday. And I think maybe that's the Lord's way of just preparing me. So, for example, if I preach on anger, guess what I'm feeling that week? Anger. So to that end, I'm kind of amazed that I made it through the sermon on Daniel in the lion's den. And I can also guarantee you right now, we're not touching Jonah getting swallowed by a big fish with a 10-foot pole. Like, that's an experience somebody else can have, right? But really, though, like, all kidding aside, I have felt my weakness and my neediness just more keenly this week. And maybe you think that's odd because, like, Kent, you're coming off a vacation, right? But I think that just gives more proof to Anna's theory here. I don't know about you, right? Maybe that's not been your week, but I know you've had seasons. You've had seasons in your life of feeling unwanted, of feeling weak, of feeling helpless, feeling dirty, feeling unclean. I know you have. And if you know what that's like, then you have tasted a little bit of the experience of this man that we read about today. So in our true story today, it focuses on two major characters, the unclean leper and then the cleanser, Jesus. And we're going to look at both of those in turn. Let's start with the unclean, the leper. Okay? I want us to look at there are three effects of uncleanness that this leprosy would have had in this man's life. So I'm going to look through those. The first is, like, he's literally decaying. Okay? So now, leprosy in Jesus' day, it was a blanket term for just about any kind of skin disease. But the worst of those is what we call today Hansen's disease. This is a contagious disease that attacks your skin and your nerves, and it pretty much rots you while you're alive. I don't know if you've had any experience with leprosy. Growing up in Mozambique, it was a country that was coming out of 30 years of war and horrific poverty and so forth. I did see my fair share of lepers. I just want to tell you, like, it's incredibly distressing to see someone made in God's image rotting away like that. It's death in the flesh before someone actually even dies. So maybe now you can understand when this leper comes before Jesus, he's not asking, Lord, will you heal me? Lord, would you make me whole? What's he ask, right? Lord, would you cleanse me? See, his body, it was literally decaying. He's a walking corpse. He's a visible reminder that our rebellion against God has cursed humanity with death. And this man needs death scrubbed away. See, carrying death like this in his unclean body, it had other deathly effects. So he's decaying. But not just that. He also faced social ostracism. See, people were terrified of lepers, right? They were terrified because they didn't want to contract the disease themselves. If you think about how the world responded to COVID, so in our recent memory, then you kind of get a small picture of the stigma that you carried as a leper. The stigma and the fears that other people had about you. See, lepers, they lived in colonies with other lepers, and nobody wanted to be there. No one wanted to go visit them, let alone the lepers be in that colony with each other. No one wanted to see them. No one wanted to touch them. In fact, so through this sermon, I'm going to throw out multiple passages in the Bible. I encourage you to write them down, read them, because they'll actually make this story come alive a whole lot more, okay? So in Leviticus chapter 13, Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, God's own law insisted that for the good of the community, lepers needed to live away from everybody else. And if they were making a public appearance, they had to dress in rags. They had to cover their, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, so everybody would stay, they would know the lepers coming and they would stay away. Their death, this deathly infected body, didn't just ostracize them socially, but also ostracized them spiritually too. Here's the thing. If lepers couldn't appear in public, then they definitely couldn't appear in public worship either. Lepers weren't allowed anywhere near God's temple. This makes sense, right? Think about it. God is life. The very opposite of what leprosy is, death and decay. God is life. He is wholeness. He is glory. He is so utterly pure and clean and stain-free, and a walking corpse has no place in God's presence. So just put yourself in this man's shoes, okay? He had nothing. He had no hope of a cure, let alone of like any kind of life whatsoever. But he did have one thing. He'd heard about this incredible man, this man named Jesus, and he had trust enough in what he heard about Jesus's character and his power to trust that Jesus could do something about his decaying and deathly condition. Do you notice he doesn't come to Jesus wondering, can you heal me? What's he say? Lord, if you're willing, you can. You can. I know you can. And just notice the humility too. He doesn't come demanding anything, but humbly, are you willing? Because if you are, I know you can. That's the leper. Let's shift the focus now. Let's look at us. Let's look at our hearts. Here's where context is incredibly important, because Matthew, remember, we've just come out of the Sermon on the Mount. And biblical writers, just so you know, right? Biblical writers, like all writers today, they get to choose what it is, like as they're writing, they're choosing what it is that they're going to include and where it is that they're going to include it, right? So Mark, he apprenticed under Jesus' good friend named Peter, and he was very likely the one to write the first, like put on paper first, the story of Jesus' life. So Mark writes about this particular encounter that Jesus has with a leper. The wording's a little different. But what Matthew does is he takes this encounter that Mark has written, and he slightly shifts the order of where this particular story comes in the narrative. And when you see something like that, you got to ask yourself the question, why? What is this author doing? And ultimately, God, what are they doing by tying together these two pieces of teaching? And here's what I think, okay? We just finished the Sermon on the Mount. What's the Sermon on the Mount all about? It's about God. It's about God's heart and what it looks like to look like Him on mission, right? What it looks like to bear the image of God the way that He made us to. What it looks like to be a whole human being doing life with God and with others the way that we were made to. All right, so we were in that sermon series, we worked through the Sermon on the Mount over the course of 19 weeks. Let me ask you now, how did you stack up? As we worked through that, how did you compare to this mirror of God's heart that we saw in the Sermon on the Mount? You see the problem? You and I, we're the leper. We are the leper. You finish that Sermon on the Mount, and you're supposed to be left thinking, good night, that's not me. I want it to be. But I fall so far short of the glory of God, of imaging Him the way I was made to. Why? Because our sin, it gets in the way. It jacks us up. You see, our sin, it infects us like leprosy. Because of our sin, we are rotting image bearers. It's no surprise in the Bible, sin and physical decay, spiritual and physical decay, they often overlap. Because that's what sin is. Sin is literally death. Sin is spiritual death working its way out into the physical world. So I want you to think through all the things that we just talked about with leprosy. Sin, all right, so again, what is sin? Sin is our rebellious turning our backs on God, the God that we were made for. Sin is our rebellious seeking independence from the God that we were made to live in relationship with. So sin, it decays us. It deforms us from what we're supposed to be. It's the warping of our souls. It's the shattering of our wholeness. It destroys the tattered shreds of our moral compass and our conscience. That's sin. And sin, just like leprosy, sin makes us contagious to those around us as they suffer the horrible consequences of doing life with us. Think about it. This is hard. But think about it. Our sin oozes out all over the people around us, in the words that we speak, in the actions that we do, the things that crush spirits, that shatter bodies. So the closer the people get to us, the more they are the victims of our infectious sin. And we of theirs too. I mean, you don't need me. Everybody in this room has personal experience with this, right? You know how sin is contagious. The way that you do things now that you didn't used to because of something that someone did to you. And it's worse than that. But we are the cause of that in other people too. We shape their sinful responses. You see, sin makes us contagious. And it kills us too. It kills our relationship with other people. It cuts us off socially, right? It undermines and destroys relationships. It alienates us. It isolates us from those who should have loved us most and who we should have loved most. But worst of all, it kills our relationship with God. You see, that's where this decay actually starts. Because our first parents, they rebelled against God. They turned their backs on him. And now every single human being born, except Jesus, we're born with this decay in us. We're born dead. We're born spiritually cut off from God and unable to enter into God's house, into his temple, just like this leper, right? Infected with death. So friend, this is what happens. You and I, we're infected with death. We are the unclean ones. And truly, if God gave us eyes to see our state for what it really is, we would shudder. We would shudder with a horror and a feeling of filthiness that we would feel if we were to somehow fall into an open grave with decomposing flesh. You and I, we need wholeness. We need cleansing. And there's one place to find it. And that's where this leper finds it. You got to look at the bad before the good is. But y'all, the good is so good. He finds this healing in Jesus, the cleanser. So let's look at this good news from a beautiful Savior. First, I want you to note, okay? Note the posture of Jesus toward the unclean, okay? Here's this decaying man. Everyone would run from him. People would avert their eyes so they wouldn't have to look on this, right? But when he comes before Jesus, bowing in humility, wondering, well, how are you going to receive me? Jesus doesn't run. Jesus sees. He sees him, and he does so much more than see. See, in Mark's version of this story, he says that Jesus looks on and is moved with pity. You see, far from running from the unclean, the cleanser feels compassion for them. Friend, what are you hiding? What are you hiding from Jesus? You see, you and I, we learn really early on that we have to hide that decay from other people, don't we? People are repulsed by our sin. They're afraid of it. And can you blame them, really? I mean, we feel that way, right? And so we learn that we have to hide, we have to cover up. And yet, healing from sin and from our spiritual leprosy, it only happens as we admit that we are lepers in desperate need of cleansing. So we got to come into the light, we got to confess that decay and that uncleanness before Jesus before his people. And I get, look, I know from my own experience how scary that is. Because we all fear the rejection that we're sure is coming if people really take a good look at us and find out who we really see us for the decaying mess that we are, right? But listen, if you come to Jesus, Jesus sees you. He sees you, and he is moved with this deep pity. You know, it's the theologian B.B. Warfield. He did this extensive study on the emotional life of Jesus as it is captured in the Gospels. You want to know the one emotion that most dominates Jesus' life? Guess what it is? It's compassion. His compassion. And y'all, it's not just in the Gospels. It actually runs through the entirety of the whole Bible. You see, God, he is profoundly, deeply moved by the brokenness of this world. And when the broken come to him, instead of doing what is natural for you and me, where we, like anymore, we run from him instead of running to him. If we run to him, he is so compassionate over the broken. So friend, that's my encouragement, right? Stop running. Stop running from. Instead, run to. That's what repentance is. Repentance is changing from our heart's orientation to run far from God, instead turning back and running to God, the only one who can do anything about this. So let's run to Jesus. Like during this season of repentance, let's, with the leper, with me, with all of us who are unclean, with your church, let us turn to our God. And come praying and trusting in faith, right? Saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. Because when you do that, you know his compassion. Your Jesus sees you. Now listen, Jesus, he could very easily have cured this leper with a word. He did that. In fact, we're going to see that in the next couple of healing stories that Matthew records for us. He could have healed him with a word, but do you notice in verse 3, Jesus actually, he touches this guy. He touches this man's decomposing flesh. Let me ask you, would you have done that? I mean, nobody would have, right? I wouldn't have done that. Can you just wonder, how long had it been since this guy had experienced any touch like that? Who would have touched him? I mean, honestly, there are tragic studies that have been done on the effects on babies' brains when they are not touched, when they're not held, cuddled, loved. Look, I believe that. One of my primary love languages, it's physical touch. I need to be touched by the people that love me. And Jesus loves this man. And Jesus touches him. See, he's offering him not just healing for his body, but for his soul, for his heart. Just with that one touch, Jesus reverses, think about it, the social and the spiritual ostracism that man had endured all of his life. Because here he is, the leper being touched by man and God in the God-man. All right, so another passage for you. If you want to learn all about leprosy, hang out in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 3, it tells us that touching a leper would actually transfer the leper's uncleanness onto you. See, the point behind that is it's uncleanness that spreads. But Jesus, with him, it's cleanness that spreads because God is not corrupted by corruption. In fact, Jesus touches leprosy, and it is the leprosy that is made clean in this passage. Here's the point behind that, right? Jesus is willing, but he's not only willing, he's able. He is able to do something like this leper had believed that he could. So friend, this is where it applies to you and me. Have you brought those sins to Jesus? Are you looking to him to make you clean? And if you have, you are clean. You're clean. See, Jesus, he touches leprosy. He makes leprosy clean. When you come before Jesus and have given him your sin, Jesus says, I will be clean. You are. So that, what does that mean for you? You can stop beating yourself up. You can stop trying to replay your failures and living in the shame of what you did, no matter how big it is, no matter how much of a mess you've made. You are clean. The Lord has made you clean. Now, verse 3 tells us that the leper experienced immediate healing. And look, I know some of us in this room, we've been praying for a really long time. Been praying for healing from sin patterns, from mental ruts. And I know what it's like when we don't experience that immediate sense of like cleansing and healing. It can be easy to think, well, it's just not happening, right? When you've been wrestling with a sin for a long time. But I just want you to know, Christian, it is. It is, because if you come to Jesus in that same trusting humility that this leper had, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean, then Jesus has already done the biggest cleansing work in your life by restoring you from your alienation and ostracism from God. And that happened instantly the moment that he gave you faith in him, faith and trust in him. And so the rest, everything else that you're still waiting for deliverance and victory over these things in your head and in your heart, that is coming. Jesus has taken the penalty of sin. He is breaking the power of sin in your life right now, and one day the presence of sin will be fully gone. That is coming. So you can read the Gospels, and Jesus doesn't heal everybody in the same way all the time. You ever wonder about that? Some he touches, some he just gives a word, some get that healing immediately, others have to wait a little bit in faith, trusting that he's going to do it. But you want to know what all those different healing stories in the Bible have in common? Jesus always heals those who come to him in faith. And so, friend, if you're wrestling with sin in your life right now, trust him. Trust him and watch him do his work. His way in his timing, because he is working. All right, so this cleansing in the leper's life, it changed everything about his life. And it didn't cost him a dime. He definitely didn't look for healthcare in the United States, right? Didn't cost him a dime, but it did cost. It cost the one who had cleansed him. It cost Jesus. Look at verse 4. You see, Jesus, he heals the man, and then he tells him, don't tell anybody about this cleansing. And Mark's version, that may sound a little weird, but Mark's version helps us understand why. Because Mark records, the leper actually doesn't listen to Jesus. He's so excited. Would you blame him, right? He's so excited about this healing. He's telling everybody. And Mark records then in chapter 1, verse 45, that Jesus gets mobbed by people. So much so that he can no longer openly enter any town. Instead, he's confined to life in the wilderness, away from everyone. Do you see what happened there? Jesus had given this leper his life back. This leper who was confined in the wilderness, away from God, away from everyone else, now had access to God and to everyone else because Jesus took the wilderness in this man's place. This man's healing and return to society and to the comforts of all of that, it cost Jesus his place in society and his comfort. In doing that, Jesus, he gives us a picture of what he was about to do on the cross. Because see, Jesus, he doesn't just carry our guilt and our shame. Those are two effects of sin, our guilt and shame. But he also carries the third effect of our sin, our alienation. Sin it creates a separation between us and God. And Jesus, he bore that separation from the Father outside of God's city in Jerusalem, so that you and I could be restored to fellowship with the Father in his home, in his city, in the New Jerusalem. Christ carried our alienation, our ostracism. But you see what this cleansing cost Jesus in another way here too. It's also in verse 4. See, Jesus, he tells this leper to go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that is required. That may seem out of place until you realize that really this is the first time that, and who knows how long, that this man has actually been able to go into the temple. And you want to know what would have happened the moment that he'd walked into the temple as soon as he arrived? Well, you can actually read about this. It's a whole ceremony. And you can read about it in Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus 14, it describes this ritual that would take place to acknowledge a leper's healing and ceremonially to re-induct them back into fellowship with God and with other people. Part of that ceremony involved the death of a lamb, whose blood would then be placed on the cleansed leper's right earlobe, his thumb, and his big toe. It's actually the same kind of ritual that Leviticus 18, verses 23 and 24 describes for the ordination of God's priests. And what all of this was meant to symbolize, it meant to symbolize this blood being, this person, this infected body or formerly infected body, being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And not even 3 years after this leper would have gone through this cleansing ceremony, Jesus, the Lamb of God, whose cleansing blood takes away the sins of this world, Jesus would hang on a cross with blood dripping from his head, pierced with a crown of thorns, from his hands, pierced with nails, from his feet. It's blood that should have been ours, that we should have paid. But it was his own blood that cleanses sin-filled lepers from their death. It's blood that wipes out the sin and decay. It's blood that opens up to us again God's temple and restores us to each other. Yes, to fellowship with one another, but most importantly, to fellowship with our God. And friend, that was blood that Jesus shed willingly for you. And for me, and for everybody, everyone who comes to him acknowledging how eaten up we are by our own sin, how dead we are in our own trespasses, and who comes saying, Lord, in repentance and faith, just like this leper, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Friend, let me ask you, is this you? Is this you? Will you come? Because if you will, then you will see the compassion in Jesus' eyes. You will feel his touch, and you will hear him saying, my child, don't be afraid. I see you. I came for you. I went to the wilderness for you. I shed my blood for you. Of course I will. Be clean. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray. So often we are not just lepers, but we are blind. We are blind to ourselves. We are blind to sin. We are blind to its effects in our life. We are so full of our own pride, our own self-sufficiency. We resist repentance. We run far from you. Father, if there's any heart in here today that is responding in that way, would you break us down? Would you woo our hearts with the beauty of your gospel and what you, Lord Jesus, have done to come seeking those who weren't seeking you, to come bring healing to those who are decaying, to come cleanse we who are unclean? Father, that's me. That's me. It's my sisters and my brothers in this room. We need our Lord Jesus. And so, Father, I pray, would you send your Spirit, would you be working that cleansing work in our lives? As we come before your table, this reminder of how far you, Lord Jesus, are willing to go to cleanse your people. Would you feed us with our Savior, Jesus, in whose name and for whose glory we ask all of these things. Amen.